Turn your Bibles this morning to 1 Samuel chapter 14. 1 Samuel chapter 14. And we're reading verses 24 through verse 29. I'll read the even verses if you'll join me on the odds of 1 Samuel chapter 14. And if you found that, if you'll please stand in the honor of reading of God's Word this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 14, beginning in verse number 24. And the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had adjourned the people, saying, "Cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged on mine enemies." So none of the people tasted any food. And all they of the land came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground. And when the people were come into the wood, behold, the honey dropped, but no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people. Wherefore he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand, and dipped it in honeycomb, and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. Then answered one of the people, and said, "Thy father straitly charged the people with an oath, saying, Cursed be the man that eateth any food this day." And the people were faint. Then said Jonathan, "My father hath troubled the land. See, I pray you, how mine eyes, because I tasted a little of this honey." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading this morning. How good you've been to us this week. And so, Lord, I pray that we'd be in tune for what you have for us. Put aside anything that's on our mind and distracting things. And we'd be focused on what you have for us through your Word of God, the man of God. I do pray you'd with the special, prepare our hearts for the message. In your name we pray. Amen.
All my life long I had panted for a draught from some cool spring that I hoped would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. Hallelujah, I have found Him who my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through His blood I now am saved. Feeding on the husks around me, till my strength was almost gone, longed my soul for something better, only still to hunger on. Poor I was and sought for riches, something that would satisfy. But the dust I gathered round me only mocked my soul set dry. Hallelujah, I have found Him who my soul so long had craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through His blood I now am saved. Well of water springing, bread of life so rich and free, untold wealth that never faileth, my Redeemer is to me. Hallelujah, I have found Him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through His blood I now am saved.
Good song. Thank you, Brother Stone. Good song this morning. I want to see verse 29 there with you. Then said Jonathan, "My father hath troubled the land. See, I pray you, how mine eyes have been enlightened because I tasted a little of this honey." And so I'm speaking on a bit of honey this morning. A bit of honey. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the good song. Hallelujah, my soul has found Him. Thank you, Jesus, for the full joy you bring once we get saved. And thank you for going to the cross and dying so that we could be born into God's family, have our sins forgiven, and have a life worth living, a life of contentment and full joy. Help me this morning to preach your word, Lord, clearly and plainly and in power so that it does more than just speak to our ears, but it goes all the way down into our hearts and causes and makes a difference. Please, may it be so in Christ's name. And amen. There are times when a little bit of something is not as good as a lot of it. And there's a lot of things that come to my mind right now, but we got to go here, so I won't take the time to talk about that. But and then there are times when a little bit is better than none. And sometimes a little bit of something goes a long way. I have something for you this morning. The ushers are going to help me get it to you right now, if they would. And so, fellas, if you'll move quickly, we have several, I hope, picked out, ready to roll. And years, this is going to take you, if you if you're a youngster, this is before your time, but this is going to take, now listen, once you get it, just pass it out, fellas, pass them out. We don't have time, so way we go, okay? Just one per person, okay? And just one per person. When you get it, don't eat it. Hang on to it just for a minute there. Hang on to it just for a minute and keep it somewhere. Maybe keep it on the pew beside you. And we'll find out in just a minute how many are seeing a bit of honey for the first time. You've never had this candy bar. You've never had a piece of this candy. How many of you have never had a bit of honey? You've never had it. Most everybody here has had some. All right, a few haven't. All right, well, good. More than I thought. Well, maybe it's not as old as I thought. One per person. Just keep it. Don't eat it, please. Don't eat it here in church. Keep it with you. Put it in your pocket. Keep it on your Bible. I want to use it. I want you to have it as a reminder of what you're going to hear this morning on the subject of a bit of honey. Do you have more upstairs, Brian? Because we're out downstairs. Do you have some upstairs? Please bring them down. All right. Do we have enough? Did we run out? Does anybody not get one? Okay. Okay. I've got a whole bunch of them. Okay. You know, go quick, fellas, if you can. And just run them downstairs here. Keep your hand up just for a moment if you did not get one or if you got an extra on your pew. All right. Keep your hand up just for a minute. And I'd rather the adults get them than the kids. So make sure all the adults are taken care of first here. And the adults will give them to the kids later anyway, right? So, everybody served. We may not have enough. I don't know. We may have run out. So, anybody not get one? A bit of honey. Got it? Okay. Is it full over there? We're all done over here? All back here? All set? We're missing a couple. All right. Very good. Now, just put that somewhere. Keep it close to your Bible. Put it in your pocket or something. But remember this. A little bit of some things goes a long way. A little bit and a bit of honey went a long way here in the passage that we're referring to this morning. Now, Jonathan, he said in verse number 29, "Mine eyes have been enlightened because I tasted a little of this honey." Now, let me review with you the setting of this story, okay? The Philistines are the enemy of Israel, and they had amassed a huge army to fight against the Jews. Now, I want you to look at chapter 13. Look at a few verses with me so we can get the setting. Look at chapter 13 and verse number 15, okay? Chapter 13, no, verse number 5. Let's start in verse number 5. The Bible says, "And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude." Now, folks, that's a good-sized army in this day. You've got 30,000 chariots, you've got 6,000 horsemen, and basically what you've got there, foot soldiers that could not be numbered. People as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. So you've got a large, large Philistine army that has gathered against the nation of Israel. Now look at verse number 15. Same chapter, verse number 15. The Bible says, "And Samuel arose and got him up from Gilgal unto Gibeah of Benjamin. And Saul numbered the people that were present with him about 600 men." So, of the Israelites, you've got King Saul and 600 men, including King Saul. Look down at chapter 13, verse 22. Look at verse 22. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. But with Saul and with Jonathan, his son, was there found. You got 600 Israelites gathered together. 598 of them have no weapons. They have no weapons. Saul has a weapon. Jonathan has a weapon. Now, folks, the odds of 600 Israelites with only two weapons against 30,000 horsemen and chariots and 6,000 horsemen and more foot soldiers than you can count, those odds are not very good. But that's exactly what was taking place here. Look at chapter 14, verse number 2. And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron, and the people that were with him were about 600 men. So Saul is standing around with these 600 people, 600 soldiers, under a pomegranate tree, doing nothing. Here is the leader of the country, the commander-in-chief of the military, basically standing around doing nothing. He didn't know what to do. He got 600 men, got two swords, that's it, standing around under the pomegranate tree. I'm the telemetry in this room this morning. I know what you're thinking. I know a commander-in-chief like that. I do too. But anyway, look at verse number one. We skipped that. Look at this. Now, it came to pass that upon a day, that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, come, and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. Now, his dad's standing around under the pomegranate tree, 600 men. Jonathan says to his armor bearer, let's take the battle to the enemy. Now, folks, you're talking about two men, and Jonathan is the only one that has a sword. Two men, one sword, and they're going to go against 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and more foot soldiers than you could count, all of whom are well armed. Okay? So Jonathan's going to go and take the initiative and go over and start the battle. Look down at verse number 6. He doesn't have a whole lot of faith. Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And by the way, that's true, isn't it? There's no restraint to God. He doesn't need a majority. In fact, most of the time, God has worked through a minority. But I want you to see this, folks, that really, Jonathan didn't have a lot of faith. He said, it may be that the Lord will work for us. He didn't say, hey, God's going to do this. It's going to happen. He said, maybe God will work for us. Now look at verse number 13. We're just reading kind of through the setting here. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan, and his armor-bearer slew after him. And that first slaughter, which Jonathan and his armor-bearer made, was about 20 men. So here's Jonathan and his armor-bearer, and they take the battle to the Philistines, and they kill about 20 Philistines. The Bible says that Jonathan and his armor-bearer killed. You say, well, I thought there was only one sword. There was. Well, where did the armor-bearer get his sword? I'll promise you, that first Philistine that died, that armor-bearer jumped on that sword, friend. I'll promise you that. And so now they got two swords. Boy, the odds are improving greatly. Amen? 100% better than they were when they started. All right? And so they kill about 20 men. Now, look at verse number 15. And there was a trembling in the host, in the field, and among all the people, the garrison, and the spoilers. They also trembled, and the earth quaked, so it was a very great trembling. You say, what happened? Well, God up in heaven was watching this thing take place, watching Jonathan and his armor-bearer, two guys, take the battle to the Philistines. And you know what? God was pleased with that. And the God of nature sent an earthquake, and the ground started quaking. Now, I've never been in an earthquake. I was in a real small one here years and years ago, and it was not big at all. I've never been in a major earthquake, but they say that when you're in a major earthquake and the ground is shaking underneath your feet, that you lose equilibrium and you lose your balance. And I can imagine that's what's going on here. These Philistines get confused. This earthquake is going on. Their equilibrium is thrown off. They're in the midst of a fight. The adrenaline is flowing. And the Bible says that they started killing each other. They started killing each other. And I mean, the whole army turned on itself. And Jonathan and his armor bearer were watching this happen, okay? They were all confused. Now, I want you to see what happened here. For sake of time, you're going to see that in verse number 20, Saul and those 597 men that were with him, they went and joined the fight. And then in verse 21, you got some Hebrews that were siding up with the Philistines. And when they saw that the Philistines, that the Hebrews were winning, they started in the fight as well. That's called, that is the origin of jumping on the bandwagon right there. They jumped on the bandwagon. And then in verse number 22, you got Hebrews that were hidden in the caves, and they joined the fight. I've got an outline for this. The lackadaisical joined, the liberals joined, and the lily-livered joined. Amen? The cowards joined. And then in verse 23, the land was saved. Unbelievable miracle here. All because Jonathan and his armor bearer took the initiative. Now, we come to that's the setting, okay? So we come to the text for the message. In verse number 24, the Bible says that the soldiers were distressed. Now here's why, folks. They were in a battle. And Saul had made a very foolish command. Saul had made a command saying, "Cursed be anybody that takes any food." Now why would you want to rob your soldiers of food? Why would you want to starve those who are fighting the battle? Why would you want them to be without nourishment? Why would you want them to be without energy? But Saul was a self-serving king, and he said, "Cursed be the one who takes any food." So these men are underneath a curse, and they're not eating anything, and the Bible says they are distressed. Now look at verse number 25. They came into the wood, I'll shorten it here, and there was honey upon the ground. And when the people, verse 26, were coming to the wood, behold, the honey dropped. So there's these men. None of them put their hand to their mouth. None of them reached in and got any honey. They're starving. And there's honey everywhere. And they're starving and standing around distressed and faint. Well, verse number 27, Jonathan didn't hear his father's command. Because he was already over there fighting. He didn't hear his dad say, "Cursed be the one who eats anything." So you know what Jonathan did? He did what all those folks wanted to do. He took his rod and he dipped it in one of the honeycombs and he took the end of it and got some honey on it and then he stuck that in his mouth. So he put a great big old glob in, it wasn't even big, it was little, but he put this little bit of honey in his mouth. And the Bible says that his eyes were enlightened. He got nourishment. He got strength. He was encouraged. He was built up a little bit after he took a little bit of honey from the honeycomb. And boy, in verse number 28, the soldiers spake up and said, "Hey man, you just broke your father's command. Your dad said, 'Cursed be anybody that eats any of the honey.' You just broke the king's command." And Jonathan said, "My father put a foolish command onto the people." He said, "Do you see what's happened here? Because I have tasted a little bit of this honey. I tasted a little bit of this honey, and my eyes are enlightened." Now, I want you to look, we didn't read this, but look at verse number 31. I want you to see this. "And they smote the Philistines that day from Michmash to Ajalon, and the people were very faint." Well, I guess they were. They hadn't eaten. Look at verse 32. "And the people flew upon the spoil," now watch this, "and took sheep and oxen and calves, and slew them on the ground, and the people did eat them with the blood." Do you see what happened here? They killed the animals and started eating raw meat. Now, I know there are people in this room who like their steak rare, okay? My mother is one where you stick the fork in it, she loves it. If it goes, she likes that, okay? For me, I can't handle that. But even people who like rare steak want a little bit of heat in that thing. These people were killing the animals, taking their knives and their spears and their swords, and they were cutting raw chunks of raw meat and gorging themselves on that raw meat. Jonathan was not doing that. But the others were. Jonathan ate just a bit of honey. Just a bit of honey. And two things happened to Jonathan. His spirit was refreshed, and his flesh was restrained. His spirit was refreshed, and his flesh was restrained. Now, there is symbolism galore in this story, so let me get into it and make three applications for you and me this morning, and then we'll be done. I'm going to give you three words, and they'll go quick. First of all, I want you to see the word battle. Battle. There is a battle going on here, right? There is a battle. The army of Israel is in a battle. Israel belongs to God. Israel is God's people. So the army of God, the army of the Lord, is in a battle. Now, folks, listen carefully. If you're born again into God's family, if you're a born-again child of God, according to the New Testament, if you're saved, you are a member of the army of the Lord. You say, well, I never enlisted. You did the moment you got saved. You know, I'm not going to go into it. I was going to, but for sake of time, we have a list of armor given in Ephesians chapter 6. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we are told to endure hardness as a good soldier. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we are told that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Now, people, listen. When you've got armor and soldiers and weapons, you've got an army. Listen, you are in the army of the Lord this morning. And whether you know it or not, you and I are in a war. We're in a battle. We have a threefold enemy. The devil is our enemy. The world is our enemy. When I say the world, I'm not talking about planet Earth. I'm talking about this world system. This world system that is anti-God. This world system that is anti-Bible. This world system. You know, a question I thought, I wish I could, you just wish you could get to the right people and ask questions sometimes. I sure would like to know where the ACLU was when those pastors in Houston had their sermons subpoenaed by the mayor's office. Where was the American Christian Liberty Union? You would think that just by their name they would show up to defend a bunch of pastors. Huh? They were conspicuously absent because they got nothing to do with Christianity. They've been bought into the philosophy of anti-Bible, anti-this and that, anti-Bible values. And the world is our enemy. Satan is our enemy. The world is our enemy. And the flesh is our enemy. I'm talking about you. We are our own enemy. I've said often the biggest enemy that you and I face is the one that we look at every morning in the mirror. Because we still got the old nature inside of us. Yes, the Spirit of God indwells us, but we've still got the sin nature in our flesh. And now we've got a war going on. Spirit versus flesh and flesh versus spirit. In our flesh, the body is the sin nature. That can do nothing holy. In us, if we're saved, is the Spirit of God. And He can do nothing unholy. And you and I are in a battle. There's a battle raging in us between good and evil and holy and unholy and right and unrighteous and spirit and flesh and spirit. Romans 7 talks about the war going on between the flesh and the spirit. The war, the battle. Anybody who is saved knows this is true. I like what Lester Roloff used to sing. He used to sing, "It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay." If you're saved this morning, you have to be honest and say that this past week you fought the battle between flesh and spirit. Flesh and spirit, flesh and spirit, flesh and spirit. The battle can be exhausting. The battle can be frustrating. The battle can be tiresome. I would like to take time to preach on all these this morning, but I'm running short this morning. Let me say this. There is no discharge from this war until we see Jesus. You say, how long am I in the battle between flesh and spirit? Until you see the Lord. Nobody's discharged from this war. So there's this battle going on inside us. Flesh, spirit, spirit, flesh. Holy, unholy, unclean, clean, back and forth, good and evil, right and wrong. This pull, this tug, it's frustrating, it's aggravating, it's exhausting, it's tiresome, and there is no discharge until we see Jesus. Christian, I'm saying this morning, you are in a battle. You are in a real war. It may not be a visible war with guns and bullets and helmets and bombs and grenades, but it's a war. It's a battle. It's the battle inside you. It's the battle inside me. Now, there's a second thing I want you to see this morning, and that is the word Bible. The word Bible. You see, Pastor, I don't see the Bible anywhere in this story. I do. I see it in verse 25 and verse 26 and verse 27 and verse 29. I see it all in all those verses in the words honey and honeycomb. honey and honeycomb. Because the Bible is full. Honey is a type or a picture of the Word of God. Psalm chapter 19, verse number 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. All of those words, law, testimony, statutes, commandments, fear, judgments, all of those words are terms used about the Bible. Then the next verse says this, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and the honeycomb. Psalm 119, 103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. The Bible is in this story, friend. Every time you read the word honey, it is a picture of the Bible. And friend, the Word of God is like, you know, honey is good for you. Do you know that? I know you like honey. Man, there's nothing better on a hot biscuit than some good old butter covered, smothered with honey. Amen. And I mean, you can put honey on waffles. You put honey sometimes to sweeten your tea. There's something just absolutely good about honey. And you know, there's something just absolutely good about that book right there. And I want to tell you something. A lot of this book is better than a little, and a little is better than none. But I want to say this morning. This is my message. A bit of honey goes a long way. A bit of honey goes a long way. A bit of honey. You know, Jonathan took just a little honey. And people, I'm telling you that a little of the honey of God's Word goes a long way. Let me expound on the things that happened for Jonathan. Those two things that I mentioned earlier before I move to the last point. Because I got a little time here. Let me look. First of all, I want you to see that this little bit of honey refreshed Jonathan's spirit. His eyes were enlightened. Now that means his vision was sharpened. But it's more than that, folks. The eyes are the windows to the what? Soul. Jonathan took and something about that honey revitalized him. Something about that honey refreshed him. Something about this honey sharpened him, replenished his energy. It was just a little bit of honey by his own admission. But that little bit of honey refreshed his spirit. You know, Coca-Cola came out with a marketing slogan back in 1929. 75 years ago, the little slogan was this, the pause that refreshes. About Coca-Cola, the pause that refreshes. And that is exactly what Jonathan did. He paused long enough to get a little honey, and when he got a little bit of honey, he was refreshed. And he was helped. And people, when you and I take some time for just a bit of honey, just a little honey, it will always refresh our spirits. Look, I know that all of us, when we read the Bible, we would all like to get something out of it. We would like to gain some wisdom, and we would like to gain some knowledge. We would like to, you know, be able to write something down on a piece of paper and say, look, man, this is what I learned from my Bible today. But it doesn't always happen that way. Does it? When it doesn't happen that way, it doesn't mean that it was a waste of your time. Because I want to tell you something, just a bit of honey will always refresh your spirit. It will encourage your spirit, revitalize your spirit. It's a powerful book, friend. And this powerful book has an influence on us all the time. Anytime you and I can give to it, a bit of honey goes a long way to refresh your spirit. But I want to say this. Number two, that bit of honey also restrained Jonathan's flesh. And I want to talk about this in a minute. People, those soldiers who didn't take the time to get a little bit of honey, they flew on those animals and ate that flesh raw. Hunger. Hunger is an appetite of what? the flesh. Their hunger was not restrained. They're wild. This flesh unhindered. It's flesh unrestrained. It's flesh without any kind of restraints on it whatsoever. But not Jonathan. A little bit of honey kept Jonathan's fleshly appetites in check. A little bit of honey kept the reins on Jonathan's fleshly appetites. And guess what, friend? Not only does a little bit of honey from this book right here refresh your spirit and my spirit, but it also keeps the reins on the appetites of our flesh. Keeps our flesh restrained. Keeps our flesh under control. You say, what kind of things are you talking about, Brother Angel? I'm talking about this. Fleshly appetites like adultery and fornication and uncleanness and lasciviousness and idolatry and witchcraft and hatred and variance, emulations and wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemy, unthankful, unholy, liars, false accusers, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. What I just gave you was a Bible description of our flesh. I did not make up those words. I did not invent those words. Those were all Bible terms that talk about what our flesh is capable of. And people, I am positive that you and I do not even understand or comprehend or realize just how far a little bit of this book goes in keeping the restraints on our flesh. Keeping our flesh in check. You know, I was talking with somebody yesterday about the matter of eternal security. And this person is struggling with, because they were brought up in a church that didn't teach, they're not members here, they were brought up in a church that didn't teach eternal security. And so the person is struggling with the matters of eternal security. And people who struggle with the matter of eternal security, you know, they point to people who claim to be saved or are saved, and they're living in all these wicked sins, and it just looks like, my goodness, man, you would think they would live different than that if they're saved. Listen very carefully. I do believe that if you get saved, you can't go out and live in open sin without God correcting you. But I want to say this morning. I also believe that a child of God is capable of doing anything that the flesh is capable of doing if the flesh is not restrained. Did David murder? Was David saved? David committed adultery. Was David saved? Peter cussed, swore. Peter was saved. All down through here, folks, all through the Word of God. Christian people, saved people, people that belong to God, committed horrible atrocities because, hear me carefully, the potential is still there. It's in us. It's in our flesh. But a little bit of honey goes a long way to restrain the appetites of the flesh. Now, this has been on my heart for several... Basically, you know, I preached a very similar sermon like this back in 2010 on a Sunday night and called, In the Battle, It's the Boost or the Beast. A very similar sermon. But this has been on my mind and heart for several days. I talked to our staff about it. I preached it at the college on Thursday when I didn't even have the message with me. And I'll say more about that in just a minute. But I'm just here to remind you and me again of the necessity of making sure that we take a little time for a bit of honey. Because a bit of honey refreshes our spirits, but it also restrains our flesh. You know, we always look at it from the fact that, you know, if I read the Bible, it's really going to, you know, really encourage me and revitalize me. And it does. But it also keeps the reins. Whoa! Whoa! It keeps the reins on our flesh. Those folks did not have any honey. They were starving to death. They started gorging themselves with raw meat. And a Christian who goes without the Word of God, not only his spirit will not be refreshed, but his flesh will not be restrained. And they are capable of doing anything. Capable of doing anything. Now, you got the battle. You got the Bible. The Bible encourages our spirit and refreshes our spirit and restrains our flesh. The pause that refreshes. But here's the last thing. I've got to get to this. I want you to see this. Is the battleground. Now, look at this story right here. In fact, I read it to you. We read it twice. So let me just talk to you now with you looking up here instead of looking at the Bible. The people go in the woods and the honey is all around them. Right? Drops everywhere. Only one person gets the honey in them. And that's Jonathan. All those people had the honey all around them, but the honey didn't get in them. I'm going to tell you, honey around you is not enough. It's honey in you. It's honey in you. It's not honey around you that refreshes your spirit and restrains your flesh. It's honey in us. Because the battleground is in us. It's where that battle is taking place between flesh and spirit. Flesh and spirit. Spirit and flesh. Bang, bang, bang. Live this way. No, live this way. Act like this. No, act like this. Don't look at that. Yes, do this. No. It's in us. And where we need to get the honey doesn't need to be around us. The honey needs to be in us. James 4:1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? The war is in us. In 1 Peter 2:11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. The battle is in us. The battleground is in us. It's not enough that the honey is around us. The honey has to get in us. And I want to tell you something. If you will make a common practice of making sure that you get a bit of honey as many days as possible, I would say try to do it every day. Set your schedule, set a time where you could get a bit of honey in you every day. Not around you, not because you got Bibles in your house, not because you come to church and sit in a Sunday school class or a church service, but when you sit down and you dip your rod in the honeycomb and you put a little of that honey from that honeycomb in your mouth, it gets in you. In you. When you read it and you think upon it. Because if you don't, your spirit is not going to be refreshed and your flesh is not going to be restrained. I preached this message, not in this fashion, but the truth, in College Chapel on Thursday. Headed home, Brother Hall calls me and he says, "Man," he said, "you don't have any idea what you did this morning." What did I do? Well, maybe I did something wrong. He said, "We got a student caught in a sin." That's all I'll say. Caught in a sin. A sin that has been in his life for 3 years. And he told the dean when confronted, and the dean asking him how his devotions, his personal devotions were going, that he hadn't read his Bible. Guess how long? In 3 years. So he's got active sin in his life, but the whole time he's not reading the Bible. When you don't take time for a bit of honey, your spirit's not going to get refreshed and your flesh is not going to be restrained. Folks, I'm telling you, you're not going to live in continued sin if you stay in that book. Just taking time for a bit of honey every day, I'm not saying that you'll be sinless, but I'm saying, whoa, Whoa, here, whoa. I'm not a horseman, so how do you say it? Stop. Huh? I don't know. That's what the Word of God does. Up here. Up, up. No. It keeps our flesh restrained. It's no wonder God's people get themselves in all kind of predicaments. And sometimes you look at their lives are characterized by things that the Bible says are works of the flesh. And they can give you a solid testimony of salvation. Well, I'm glad that they're saved, but they quit getting honey. You got to get honey in you. And when you get honey in you instead of just around you, and you know what? You and I are the potential. We are the people with the most potential because we're around the Bible a lot. We got Bible in our homes. We got Bible songs on our CD players. And we come to church with Bibles. And we listen to the Bible. That helps, but there's nothing like dipping your rod in the honeycomb and getting a little bit for yourself in you. You say, Pastor, I'm struggling with a habit. I'm struggling with a vice. I wish I could get rid of, have victory over. You know what? You may need some extra personal attention and consultation and so forth. But I want to challenge you to do one thing. I want to challenge you to just get in that book every day. 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 And see if it doesn't start putting the, whoa, restraints on your flesh. Now look, when you got it going like that, when you got restraints on flesh and you got your spirit encouraged, wow. Through just a bit of honey. Now you got a bit of honey this morning. Did you get one? I didn't either. Did you get one? Discrimination. You got a bit of honey this morning. A little piece of candy bar. Maybe what you ought to do is take it home and set it somewhere where you can see it instead of eating it. And let it be a reminder that you get a bit of honey. Monday, get a bit of honey. Tuesday, get a bit of honey. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Amen? Get a bit of honey. Because you know what? A little bit goes a long way. Let's pray. Thank you for listening. Father in heaven, help us this morning. Speak to the hearts of people. Help us, God. We must come back to this every so often in the pulpit. This cannot ever be taken for granted that everybody is consistently getting a little honey from your word, reading it. I pray that you'll help people today. I pray, Lord, for these college students who are in the middle of so much busyness. I pray for men in our church who work weeks are very hectic. I pray for ladies who are staying at home with moms and children and their lives are busy, working mothers, retired people. It doesn't matter. The devil would love to make sure that we don't get time for a bit of honey. Speak to our hearts today, please, in Jesus' name. Pastor Angel, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor Angel, thank you for the reminder. I needed it. I need to be more consistent with my bit of honey. Pray for me. Would you slip a hand up all over the room this morning? Wherever you're sitting, God bless you. Thank you. You may take your hands down. Appreciate that. If you're in the habit and routine already, keep it up. Keep it up a little bit. Goes a long way. Is there anybody here this morning who would say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. Pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you slip your hand up so I can pray for you this morning? I didn't preach about that topic, but if you don't know for sure, God bless you. I see your hand. Is there somebody else? Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'll pray for you in just a moment. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll be with this man. I pray that you'll touch his heart. I pray, God, that you'll bring him to Christ. If he's not saved, I pray that the Holy Spirit, Lord, would work in the heart this morning. I pray for anybody else here today that's not saved. I pray, God, that this day will be the day of their salvation. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Is there somebody here? Pastor, I've not been baptized since I've been saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that today? I've not been baptized since I've been saved. I see a young child's hand. God bless you. be obedient to the Lord. God will bless you. In just a minute, we're going to stand. We're going to play. Instruments are going to play. I would encourage you, if God was kind enough to speak to your heart about a little bit of honey, then step out and just speak back to God. God, you told me this. You made this clear to me. Now, this is what I'm going to do. And go home and begin the process. If you're not saved, slip right out of your seat down the aisle. We'll have somebody show you how to be saved this morning. Don't play around with your soul's eternal destiny. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies are playing a song of invitation. A bit of honey goes a long way. Would you come today? Would you come and let the Lord speak to your heart? Would you come and let us show you how to be saved? Would you do that? If you're not sure, the most important thing you can do is make sure. Would you come?